to Brother David Stevens in Grand Ledge and Lansing, and my nephew who is helping to spearhead this movement. And some of you have heard his testimony that was here the Friday night he was here and preached for us at youth service. This message is directly from the movement that they are starting. And I'm going to be preaching to you today why I'm apostolic. The movement is hashtag, or if you're old like me, pound sign. Why I'm apostolic. Acts chapter 2 verse 42 said, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." There's a reason today that I'm apostolic. There's 1,000 denominations that you could choose from today, but there's a reason why I chose to be apostolic. There's a reason why, and we're going to talk about that for a moment. Let's lift our hands and thank God. Lord, we thank you today for all that you're doing. God, I thank you for the power that's in your name. I thank you for the Holy Ghost that changes lives. Lord, I pray today that you would take this simple thought, this message this morning, and that you would help us to understand that there is a reason why we are what we are. God, spark inside of us a fresh fire and a fresh power. Lord, we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Why don't you take a moment, shake somebody's hand, welcome them today. Tell them I'm glad that I'm apostolic. Now I realize this morning that not everybody understands what apostolic is. Have you ever written it down and somebody say, apostolic? How do you say that? Because it's a word that at one time it was popular. Everybody knew what apostolic was. Everyone knew how to pronounce apostolic because there was a power and a demonstration that went along with the power of the Holy Ghost. And when you said apostolic, they may not have understood it. They may not have agreed with it. But they would say, "Oh yeah, we know about that apostolic church on the corner of whatever the streets were." Today I decided to do a little definition. So I looked up apostolic in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. And this is such a profound definition. Are you ready? Of or relating to an apostle. The second definition, of, relating to, or conforming to the teachings of the New Testament apostles. So can I just say today from the onset of this message, from that simple definition, everybody that calls themselves a Christian should be apostolic. Because if we want to be apostolic, then we've got to be what the Bible teaches. We got to look and say, okay, what was it that the apostles taught? What was it that they said was important to? What is it that we are really, truly built upon? We read the verse that said we are built on the foundation of the household of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So when the church started, it started with the apostles. So the first thing I want you to know, the reason that I'm apostolic, number one, is because it's Bible-based. It wasn't something that we come up with. Everybody says, well, you know, that apostolic movement, it started about the early 1900s, about 1901, you know, there was this prayer meeting and then the Holy Spirit fell and the Pentecostal apostolic movement was started. No! It was rebirthed in 1900, but it started in Acts chapter 2. There was a time that people walked away from it and said, well, you know, we don't really want that. And I don't have time to preach everything today because we'll be here a long time. But you do some church history and you'll find that what happened was they decided, well, we can't kill the Christians, so we all need to be a Christian. So then they had to define what a Christian was. And if you'll do just a little bit of history, if you'll do a little bit of research, you'll find that some of those quote-unquote spiritual meetings weren't all that spiritual. Matter of fact, they were about as carnal as you could get. One place that I read said that a fist fight broke out in one of them. Trying to decide, you know, well, do we include Jesus or how do we do this whole thing of this Godhead thing? But when I look at Scripture, I'm not looking at any man-made doctrine. I want to know what the Bible says. And I'm apostolic because when I start reading in Genesis, I see a pattern that begins to develop. The pattern was Adam and Eve sinned. God said, we got to shed some blood. I'm going to make for you coats, an animal skin, that you're going to be cleansed. And all throughout the Old Testament, leading up to the tabernacle plan, we find that there was shedding of blood for the remission of sins. Now, when you get to the tabernacle plan, and again, I don't have time to preach everything, but when you get to the tabernacle plan, you see laid out in the Old Testament a foreshadowing of what was coming in the New Testament. Matter of fact, if you look closely at the way it was laid out in the shape of a cross. Because you came in and the first thing you found was the brazen altar. The brazen altar was the place of sacrifice. It was the place of death. The next thing they went to was the brazen laver, the water where they washed and cleansed themselves. They walked into a place of worship called the holy place. And there was an altar of incense and a table of shewbread and the candlestick. And they worshiped God there. Then they walked into the next place, which was called the holiest of holies, where the presence of God dwelt on the Ark of the Covenant. And when they sprinkled that blood, the presence of God said, I accept your sacrifice. Or he stepped away and said, I don't want anything to do with it. And if he ever stepped away, they were in trouble. So when I begin to look through Scripture, I find that it is a Bible-based doctrine. From Genesis to Revelation, the thread is woven in. We come to an altar of repentance. We, if you will allow the illustration, we die to self. We say, all right, I'm done with this old man. We visit that brazen altar, if you will. We take this old man and we say, I don't want this anymore. We come to the ministry and we say, baptize me in the name of Jesus. Baptize me so that I can be washed, so that I can be cleaned. And when we rise out of that water, our sin stains are gone. We have washed. We have been cleaned. We enter into that place, if you will, the holiest of holies. When God says, you've done what you're supposed to do, I'm going to reside in you. And when he comes in, there is an evidence that accompanies that. I don't know I have the Holy Ghost just because I do good works. There's all kinds of people that do good works. I started to call names, but we'll leave that alone. All kinds of people that do good works that you know by their lifestyle they're not a Christian. It's not good works that gets me into heaven. No, but there was an experience when I knelt or when I stood, however you received it. Some get it standing, some get it kneeling, some get it riding tractors. Well, used to be. I don't know that we do that much anymore. Driving down the road, wherever that place is, that they say, all right, I surrender to you, God. I want what you have for me. I surrender my life. And what begins to happen is there is something that comes in that gives an outward expression. And I begin to speak with an unknown tongue that I didn't learn in school as the Spirit gives the utterance. I like the way Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 6:11. He's listed all these works of the flesh. And he gets to verse 11 and he says, and such were some of you. I love the way Paul writes because he doesn't pull any punches. Man, if Paul was our pastor, some of us would go find a different church to attend. Such were some of you. You were drunkards. You were revelers. You were revilers. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. My. I can look throughout Scripture. The reason I stand here today and declare I am apostolic is because I can find it from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. The second reason I'm apostolic is because when I look at Scripture, John came and John taught the apostolic message. He didn't know it was the apostolic message when he started, but he started as the forerunner preaching the apostles' doctrine. Look at it, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John said, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. Brazen altar, brazen laver. I'm dying in repentance. I'm going to be baptized and washed. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Well, you don't have to do all that. I beg to differ. Every place I look in Scripture, everyone that preaches a salvation message to a lost person, to a lost generation, I'm not talking about some of the writings that Paul made to a church that was already established. I'm talking about the plan of salvation. What must I do to be saved? I'm apostolic because John said, you got to repent, you got to be baptized, and you need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I got news for you. You're not going to find that anywhere else. That is authentic with the apostles. You're not going to find that. Well, I better be careful. I'm apostolic number three because it's what Jesus taught. Well, I don't really care what Peter said. I don't really care what John the Baptist said. Tell me what Jesus said. I'm so sick of that. It's either all His Word or none of it's His Word. You can't pick and choose what you want out of Scripture. Well, I like this, but I don't like that. Okay, sidebar, real quick. I know I shouldn't do that, but I'm going to. I get tired of all these new translations. Oh, we're going to take this out of the Bible, and we don't like that word. We're going to take that word out of the Bible, and We think the Bible's sexist, so we're going to change. We're going to have a translation that's gender neutral. How dumb is that? Sorry. Just because you change it doesn't mean God didn't say it. Just because you say, "Well, I don't like that. I'm going to take this out." It doesn't mean it wasn't said. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't live by it just because you want to rip it out and say, well, you know, I'll do something different. I've come today to tell you that it's time to take all of the Word of God. And if the Word of God says I need to repent and be baptized and be filled with His Spirit, then I'll gladly stand and say, I've done what the Bible has told me to do. All right, that was free. Jesus said in Luke 24, verse 46 through verse 50, He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance, there we go again, and that remission of sins, that's baptism, should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but you tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And He
led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. You do a little bit of research, you'll find in Acts 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. There was a reason that they went back and tarried. They had done everything else. They wanted the power.
I'm apostolic because that's what Jesus taught. Jesus said, if you're going to do it right, then you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to be baptized in my name, and then I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Number four, I'm apostolic because it's life-changing. I know I already said this when I got the floor today, but I didn't have to go to AA to be delivered from alcoholism. There was something that happened when the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. I didn't want old lifestyles. I didn't want what the world had to offer. I wanted to do what God had called me to do. And you hear me today. If you're sitting here and saying, well, you know, my testimony doesn't include being delivered from drugs. And my testimony doesn't include being delivered from alcohol. It doesn't include. I think I need to go do something to be delivered from so I can have a good testimony. Don't you let the devil lie to you and tell you that. You stand firm in what you have. You say, God kept me from that. I don't know what it tastes like. I don't know what it feels like. But I'm thankful that I am apostolic through and through. I don't want anything to do with that lifestyle.
Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm apostolic because it changes who I am. It changes my very identity. It changes me from the inside out. You forgive me for being so blunt and being so rude, but it's the truth anyways. If you didn't change when you got God's Spirit, there's something wrong with the Spirit you got.
Man, I didn't get any response on that one. You need to pray through if it didn't change you. You need to say, God, I don't like the road I'm going. I want to be different. I want to change. And when you get inside Christ Jesus, when you are buried with Him in baptism, old things pass away and all things become new. I'll tell you why I'm apostolic. Because there's life-changing power in the Holy Ghost. I'm apostolic because Paul said, when I come to Christ, I'm a new creation. Old things are going to pass away. All things will be new.
Whew. Getting some exercise today. I think today that you need to understand that when you come to Christ, it creates a change.
Oh, I realize that there's some folks that just don't want to let go of some things, and they hold on, and you know, oh well, you know, I'm gonna keep this, and I want it, and we try to departmentalize, and we say, well, you know, I'll come to church and I'll do this, and I'll hold on to that when I'm not at church. But let me tell you this, when Christ gets into your life, He gets into every aspect of your life. When He comes in, He doesn't take just a little bit, He wants it all. The reason I'm apostolic is because I am sold out to the cause of Christ. I want Him to move in me. I want Him to direct me. I want Him to show me things and reveal things to me. I'm apostolic because it changed who I am.
All right, buckle up. This one gets rough. You ready? Number five, the reason I'm apostolic is because Paul said in Galatians 1 not to change the message that the apostles preached. This is what he said. You can read it, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. I marvel that you are so removed, so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And we think church problems are a new thing.
Human nature don't change. My dad was right about that. Faces change, but human nature, personalities don't change. Watch this, verse 7. Told you, Paul's straight. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed to another gospel. Then verse 7, he says, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now watch. Because he gets straight, he gets really straight right here. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Well, you know, I just don't know about all that. You better be careful. You're walking a fine line. I know there's a denomination of religion out there that says they got some new revelation from an angel named Moroni that buried some tablets and then told them how to find it. But what my Bible says is that's a cursed doctrine. My Bible says that that's not right. Paul said if an angel from heaven come, you need to tell him, no way, I've got what I need. I'm staying with the apostolic doctrine. I'm staying with what John the Baptist taught. I'm staying with what Jesus taught. I'm staying with what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. I am not backing down from being apostolic. You know, the problem is you just don't know how to explain it. Well, you know, I don't want to ruffle the waters. Can I just tell you as kindly as I know how? There's some folks that want you to ruffle the waters. There's some folks that are begging for you to just reach out to them and say, hey, let me show you what the Bible says. Let me tell you why I'm apostolic. I know you can't pronounce it. I know you think it's apostolic or some other pronunciation that you, but let me just explain to you what it means. Let me start with, it's because we're related to what the apostles taught. Let me just start there. Let me just tell you that I'm apostolic because the disciples started there and the apostles took it. When Paul came along, Paul didn't change the message. I don't have time. So look for yourself. Look in Acts chapter 19. It was Paul that was on that missionary journey. John the Baptist's disciples, and Paul asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, you know, come on, if we're going to believe it, let's believe it all. You know, I'm in deep, so I might as well just stay there. It drives me crazy when people try to pick and choose what they want from Scripture. They'll go to 1 Corinthians 12 and they'll say, well, you know, speaking in tongues is just one of the spiritual gifts. And it is. It is one of the spiritual gifts. But there's a difference between a spiritual gift and the evidence of the Spirit that gives the gift. I'll let you process that for a minute. That was a mouthful. Why is it that Paul would say, okay, now when you speak in tongues, it needs to be two or three and there needs to be an interpreter. And then he goes into another verse and he says, well, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. So is it relegated to a couple? Or is it something that we should enjoy all the time? Come on, you can't pick and choose. You can't say, well, you know, I'll take this, but I don't want that. The whole point that Paul was trying to make in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 was that the Holy Ghost needs to be accompanied by love. I don't want to go there because we could preach about that too. Because I think sometimes that we've wore apostolic as a badge and tried to beat people into believing what we believe. And you can't do that. Paul said that though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, have not love, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. There's got to be some love that goes with it. I'm apostolic because when I got Jesus inside, He gave me a love for everybody. All right. I got to finish. Paul said, don't change the message. It's where we get in trouble. Well, you know, we don't like it. Study a little bit of church history. Do you know why that they started sprinkling instead of baptizing by immersion? Because it was easier. It was more convenient. Well, we'll just put it in a bottle and we'll carry it with us. You need to be baptized? Okay. All right, you're good. I mean, water sources were not real plenteous at times, and so we can't find a pool. I'll leave it alone, but if you'll do some church history, you'll find that the reason that the Catholic Church started doing some of the things that they did was for monetary reasons too. It didn't have anything to do with God. It didn't have anything to do with salvation. It was, well, if we charge them for this, we can make some money. So you need to buy this so that you can... I didn't mean to go there. I'm sorry. Don't change the gospel. Be apostolic. Go back to Scripture and say, what does it say? And I just want to tell you that if you're on YouTube and you will do any kind of searches at all, you're going to find that there are some big name people, we call big name people, that are starting to see, hey, what the Bible says really does work. There's one where he's sitting with his Bible open and he said, you know, what I see in Scripture and what we do don't hardly come together. We need to get back to the Bible. I'm glad they're starting to see it, because I don't care if they wear the label or not. I want them to be apostolic. I want them to get back to repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and infilling of the Holy Ghost. All right, I'll finish with this. Maybe. The last thing I have in my notes, the reason I'm apostolic, is because John 14 said that Jesus went to prepare a place for me, and I'm certain, you hear me? I am certain that the apostolic doctrine will get me there. Well, you don't have to do all that. You've heard me say this before. What have I lost if I do some things that I didn't have to do? What have I really lost if I built some fences, some boundaries in my life and said, you know, I'm going to live this way instead of that way. I'm going to make sure that I live a clean life. I'm going to make sure that I'm trying to please. What have I lost if I make it to heaven? Oh, well, you lost a lot of fun down there. Boy, you missed out on this. And when I get to heaven, do you really think I'm going to care about that? You mean I could have done that, Lord, and still made it? Could I go back? And I don't think that's going to happen. Sure is nice here, but I'd like to... Mm-mm. But think about it the other way. What happens if I let some things go? What happens if I say, well, you know, that's not really necessary, and well, I don't really need to speak in tongues, and you know, that baptism in Jesus' name, I know it's all through Scripture, but you know, I could probably just... not really worry about that. And I get to heaven and the Lord says, you know, if you would have just done one more thing, if you would have just went one more step, if you wouldn't have stopped with baptism and repentance, if you would have stepped through and said, Lord, I want everything you have for me, you could have come in. But because you didn't, because you said, well, that's not that important. Well, you know, the multitudes can't be wrong. You better check Scripture. Because Scripture, almost every time that the multitude did something, God said, nope, we're going to go this way. Even when they selected Matthias to be a disciple. Think about that. Oh, we need, and there may have been, please don't go, oh, pastor, he's just dogmatic. There may have been things that Matthias did behind the scenes. There may have been things that he accomplished that we don't have record of. But it seems to me that God said, no, I don't really want Matthias. I want Paul, because Paul's going to go to the Gentile nations and he's going to preach the gospel to a whole new people that had no idea that I existed.
All right. John 14. Verses 1 through 4, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Watch. Verse 4. And whether I go, ye know, and the way, you know. Now hear me. And I'm almost, a matter of fact, why don't you stand? It'll make you feel better. Maybe not. Maybe you say, man, my legs hurt. I'd rather sit. That's okay too if you want to.
Can you hear me if I put this down for a minute? My nephew started a whole clothing line. Says why I'm apostolic. Well, that's going to sound good on the recording.
But you hear me today. It's not just about putting on a t-shirt that says why I'm apostolic. I could care less whether you ever buy a t-shirt that says why I'm apostolic. It would bless their ministry. It would help them. But that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that your lifestyle says, I'm apostolic. What matters to me is that you live, that I live in a way that people say to me and about me, man, if I'm going to be like somebody, I want to be like him. I want them, and they have at times, and I know they have of you as well. We were talking about something one day, and one of the guys at work said, well, if anybody did it, I would trust you to do it. That says something about your lifestyle. That says, hey, I'm apostolic. Please, if you're gonna profess it, if you're gonna shout it from the mountaintops, I'm apostolic, then you better live the lifestyle so they look at you and say, yeah, he's apostolic. It's more than just saying it with my mouth. It's walking it with my feet. It's living it with my life. It's being ready to defend what I believe. If you can't defend what you believe, then we need to do some more Bible study. Don't be afraid to defend what you believe. It's Scripture. Well, you know, they've got this doctor, and they've got that this guy, and you know, this theologian says, I don't care. I'm sorry if you think I'm being rude today, but it doesn't matter to me what Dr. So-and-so says. What matters to me is what the Bible says. And I have showed you over and over and over today that what we believe is in Scripture from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. Matter of fact, the book of Revelation says about those that overcame, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That says to me that you need to be vocal about who you are. That says to me, when they ask, you better have an answer. Why are you apostolic? Oh, I can tell you. Here, let me give you 6 quick reasons. I'm apostolic because it's in Scripture. It's Bible-based. It's what John taught. It's what Jesus taught. It's what Paul said. Don't change the doctrine. Bow your heads with me, would you?
I wonder today if you would step from where you are. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, "Preacher, I've not so much as heard what apostolic means until today." If that's you, then I would invite you to come and experience Christ in a very real way. If you're here today and you're saying, "Preacher, I've been apostolic for a while, but somewhere I've lost the fire. I've lost the willingness to defend. I've lost the desire to talk about why I am what I am." And I would say to you today that you need to come as well, and you need to just say, "Lord, renew the fire, renew the apostolic fervor in my life." If you'd like to come and join me around this front, then I'm asking you to do that right now. To just step from where you are and say, "Lord, I want to be able to defend who I am. God, give me holy boldness to share the gospel with someone else. Lord, I realize that it's scriptural. Help me to live it out today." I worship you, Jesus. I worship you. Called me to be. My life.